Heavenly Father, you are the Almighty King who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. We praise you for your majesty, and we come humbly before you asking that as we look at that which you have revealed to us, may it refresh our hearts, challenge our worldview, and change us to be more like you, you living as children, your children, as we should. Please give me clarity as I speak, and help us all to have open hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thought that as we started this year that we would look at top priorities, and over the next 3 weeks we're going to be looking at the priorities that God would have us have through the lens of the Lord's Prayer. There are many ways we could have done this, but the Lord's Prayer is a very helpful way of doing this, because Jesus is sharing with his disciples the things that he thinks is important for them to ask God for. The things that they should be asking God for, he lays out here in this prayer. Now, come to the subject of prayer, and you may be feeling guilty, possibly even a little sweaty. Maybe. Maybe you think, oh, I don't have the right words to say, or I feel uncomfortable with others, or I don't pray like so-and-so, or I don't feel like I've got the right combination of the lock. You know what I'm, you know, those bike chains where you spin the numbers around, and if only I had the right posture, or if only I had the right words, or if only I had the right length. But whatever your attitude to prayer is, or your response to the subject of prayer, Jesus comes and shares with us how we should approach God and the priorities that we should have in our prayer life, and therefore the priorities that we should have in all of our lives. We'll be looking at his name, his kingdom, his will. There is a sense in which this prayer is a great Godward focus as we look at God, his name, his kingdom, his will. And there's a sense in which we look also at ourselves, the things that we need to be asking God for, from the most basic of physical needs, our daily bread, through to the most significant of spiritual needs, the forgiveness of our sins and help in time of temptation. It's a great prayer. It reorients our focus on who God is. As Richard said earlier, a lot of people in this world, vast numbers of them, have different views of God, that somehow God is out there and unknowable. Or maybe God is in the stone or the trees or the flowers or the lake or the river or the rocks or whatever it might happen to be. Or maybe God is inside of you, in the impenetrable of your own heart. And a lot of people have different ideas of who God is, but Jesus here brings the focus back of who God is, both as a focus for our prayer and also for our lives. What does Jesus, or who is it that Jesus is inviting us to call the great sovereign of this universe? The reading which Jill just read from Isaiah chapter 40, the one who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, the one who stretches out the heavens like a canopy, the one who calls the stars out and knows them all by name. This is the almighty sovereign, the creator of the universe, the ruler of the cosmos. He is here, and we are here because he has created us. We draw our breath because he wills it. Who is this great one? And what is the name that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, God in the flesh, what is the name that he invites us to use? It's Father. Father. That is the name that Jesus invites us to use to address God. There are many things that we can unpack from the name Our Father, but I want to briefly run through some of them that I've thought of. There's an intimate relationship unlimited access, amazing love. There's an intimate relationship here in that term, isn't it? Father. There's a tenderness that is there. And notice who it is that is inviting us to call God Father. It is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God who has the right, of course, to call God Father. And Paul writes in Colossians that God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, that invites us who follow him, who come to him, who are united to him, who are in him. He invites us to call God, along with him, Father. How easy we forget the great privilege that we have in this intimate of relationships. That we can know God. That is what is behind Jesus' prayer as he prays, not just for his disciples around him, but also for us at St. Thomas's this morning. He says, I pray for them who believe in me through the message of the apostles. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, Jesus Christ has come to bring us back into relationship with God. We who are sinful and rebellious, Christ has come, the righteous, for us the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Praise his name. We have this intimate relationship that we can enjoy. But not only is there an intimate relationship, there's unlimited access. And that's what we have as God's children. That's what you have when you're in the family. No matter how important your father is or may have been in human terms, you as his son or daughter had great access to him, or at least hopefully. That's what being in the family does. You have access. And we have access to God because, again, of Jesus and what he has done. Paul writes in Romans that through his blood, through the death of Jesus for us, his sacrifice for our sin, we have access. We have been brought near to God through his blood. You see, the thing that has alienated us from God, the thing that has alienated humanity from God, is not education or a lack of culture. It's our sin. And Christ has come to deal with it, that through his blood we may be brought near. And as we have access to the Father, the writer to the book of Hebrews says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, there to find help in our time of need. The intimate relationship that we have with God has blossomed forth into access that we can enjoy. And we can come to God with all of our concerns that are on our heart, knowing that he is our heavenly Father that hears. And we have such great access to him. He is the first in our prayer, and he is to be the priority for our life. And all of this, you know, to me shows just such an amazing love, that God would take us who are rebels, enemies, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, and bring us into his family. God has demonstrated his love to us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It's an amazing love. John writes in his letter, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. What a great assurance there is in knowing Jesus. For in knowing Jesus, we know God as Father. And we've been adopted into his family. Paul uses this term in Romans, telling us that we have been given a spirit of adoption whereby we may cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Again, such an intimate term. The story of adoption is just a delightful one. I don't know if you've had family members that have adopted children, but actually one of the newest members of St Thomas's North Sydney is Perry and Joe here, Perry and Joe Atkins' new daughter from the Philippines, Ron Ron. Well, adoption, such great cost, such time spent in going through all of the rigmarole of interviews and of assessments and of financial things and of psychological analysis and of this and of that and of waiting years and years and years. There's such great love there. And finally, the offer is there. Would you like to come into our family, Ron Ron? And over Perry and Joe go, and they bring her home. It's an amazing love. She now has great access and a new relationship, a new hope, a new life, new friends, new family, new future. And we've been shown that and more and more and more. Every spiritual blessing we have in Christ. We've been shown such amazing love. This stands in such stark contrast to people's view of God as in the tree or in the rock or in the stream. Or their view of God that God is just out there so big, so unknowable that we can never approach him. But into our world the light has come. On those walking in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. Christ has come, the eternal Son of God, and has paved the way to bring us back. Amazing love that he would give his life for us. What a privilege we have that we may know God as Father. But our Father in heaven is not like our earthly fathers with their limitations and their struggles and their incapacities and their problems and their weaknesses and their deficiencies. Our Father is our Father who is in heaven. And as such, he has boundless power. He is the one, as Isaiah 40 says, who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. He is the great creator. And yet, he is intimately involved. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows, as Psalm 139 says, before we stand up and before we sit down, he knows the thoughts in our minds before we think them. He knows the words that on our lips before we speak them. He knows us intimately. Yet he is the mighty creator. He is our Father in heaven. Look up and see. As we come to him before the throne of grace, know that we come to one who can not only hear us and not only understands us, but has the power to work in and through us. He is our Father in heaven. And great power he has. You may feel yourself very powerless in this life. You may yourself feel through things that have happened to you a very low self-esteem. You may feel that you're alone. You may feel like you can't change things. You may feel like you're in a circumstance that you'd love to be out of, but you can't. You may have relational struggles that you just wish were not there. To whom will you go? What will be the focus of your prayer? Who will be the focus of your prayer? Who is the priority of our lives? God, our Father. It's so easy for us to be so self-reliant that God as Father is, instead of being the first, is our last resort. But He is there, waiting, far more ready to listen than we are to speak. And He has great power. We turn to Him. Doesn't mean that every prayer and desire that we have will instantaneously be answered as we want, but we do know that His reply to us will come to pass in His will, because He is powerful, He is our Father in heaven, and we can at the same time trust that His answer to us will be best for us, even be it no or wait, because He is our Father. Well, we have relationship, access, love and power seen in these few words. But our Heavenly Father to whom we come is not to be approached lightly or flippantly or in a careless manner. That's why we come before God in confession when we meet together. That is why we should have contrite hearts, hearts that are willing and ready to acknowledge sin and to deal with it. We don't come to God flippantly, because His name is awesome. You see, although there is love and relationship, there is also a right approach to God. Although there's access and intimacy, there's also respectful honour, because we come to Him and we must come to Him with the right and proper approach. And that is why Jesus goes on to say these words, "Hallowed be your name." Because God's name to be hallowed means that it is to be holy. For God to be holy means that He is set apart from our sinfulness. Why? Because He is not sinful. He is pure and spotless and blameless. He cannot tolerate sin. He is God. He will not give His glory to another. He is King. As Amanda shared with us in the children's talk earlier, He is the King. He is holy. And so we ask, "Hallowed be your name." This "hallowed be your name" is both a statement in a sense that He is holy, "hallowed be your name," and it's also at the same time in a sense a request that He be holy in our lives. That we will not drag God's name down into the mud or cheapen His character by how we live or how we speak and what we think. That His name not be cursed or slandered or misused. That His reputation will be intact. It's so easy for us to pray this prayer, "Hallowed be your name," without realizing the gravity it means for us as God's children. That we would desire God as Father above all things in this world and give our lives to Him. That we would be grieved when we disobey Him. That our hearts would be smitten when He is grieved because of what we've done. "Hallowed be your name. Lord, may people, as they look at me, see Jesus. And not my own sinfulness. Hallowed be your name." It's a great challenge to us to stop and think about the gravity of approaching God as Father the way He would have us. He is holy. How is it that a holy and righteous and pure and spotless and blameless God can look at me and have me even enter into His presence? Only because I am in Christ. How is it that I have access to one who is holy, who cannot tolerate sin nor look on it? Only because I am in Christ. That is why we proclaim Christ, so that people can know God. And I don't know all of you here, but there may be somebody here that does not yet know Jesus, that hasn't yet come to Jesus. Maybe for you, God is the unknowable out there. You can know him. You can enjoy him. You can delight in him when you come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, your sin, which has until that point alienated you from God, is dealt with. And as we live as God's children, as Christians, as followers of the one who invited us to call God as Father, as we follow Jesus, may Jesus' name in our lives be kept holy. I think there's a temptation for us as Christians to minimise our relationship that we have, to maybe only think of God when we're in a pickle or when something really great happens. Oh, thank you, Lord, you know. But the rest of the time, he's back there somewhere. As we reflect on top priorities, may God as our Father be there. It's our temptation to underestimate the access that we can delight in and turn aside to other things, possibly our own capacity, instead of coming to God with our prayers. And to devalue the power that God has. For he wants to work in us, to change us, to be more like Jesus, his Son. And so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, grant us, Lord, that we may revere your name. Work in us the knowledge of your unsurpassed holiness, and help us with great gratitude of heart to see the greatness of our adoption, the strength of your power, the love in Christ Jesus, and the great privilege that we have, along with Jesus, the eternal Son, to call you Father. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.